Welcome to week three of the NFL with the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And, wow, it must be us.
We're 3-0.
Yeah.
We picked a good year to start this show.
Well, it's got to be good karma. That's why it's happening, is because we decided that it took us 4 years, and the Packers have not been in the Super Bowl for a while, so we thought, well, let's put a podcast together finally. And we'll get there.
Some extra motivation, because you know the players are listening.
And for me, the big thing, yeah, I know they set their alarm clocks for when we upload.
We got a text from Rogers this morning.
R-E-L. But I'm actually liking the fact that now that it's going to be Super Bowl 50, they actually went to normal numbers instead of these numeral.
It's a V this year.
It's just 5-0.
A V is 50.
Yeah, it's just 5-0.
Do you know where the Super Bowl is?
Man, I didn't know where it was. It's not Arizona, is it?
Home of the 49ers.
Oh, it's in the Gene Stadium.
Yeah, where right by where Rodgers grew up and who passed him over in the draft.
That was a really cool storyline, and you knew a lot more about it, talking about it during the game. And how, what did Alex get drafted at?
He was drafted number one overall. Mm-hmm. Kind of where Rodgers was expected to get drafted. Then there's a lot of questions about his athleticism. So he fell down in the draft. Alex Smith went first to the 49ers, his childhood team. Mike McCarthy was the offensive coordinator at the time, helped make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes full circle.
It was funny watching the game, too. They were doing the old throwback pictures, you know, and seeing how young DeGruden was looking at.
Gruden on the sideline. And
McCarthy with his stash, man. He was like, bow, chicka, bow, 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 chicka, bow, bow.
Yeah.
Hey, ladies, yeah. I got a stash.
So,
all right, let's get going. We've got talking about the offense. I mean, starting out with Rodgers, crazy. Yeah.
I mean, we've started every podcast, it seems like, talking about how great Rodgers is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a good way to start it out, and we should do it every week. Talk about how great Rodgers is.
Yeah, that's just, wow.
Yeah, but he's 24 of 35, 333 yards, 5 touchdowns.
And you know what I got to ask you?
Yeah, it's because of Jones.
No. How many throws now at home that he hasn't thrown an interception?
Okay, here's the numbers at home. 16 starts, 486 throws, and 46 touchdowns since an interception. If you count the playoffs, it's 580 throws without an interception.
Wow. That's just, he could have thrown a couple last night, though. When he was
they especially that one to the linebacker,
mm-hmm. Who dropped back, and
yeah.
I can't remember.
I mean,
who
it still would have been a one-handed catch, pretty much, but still.
Mm-hmm. He got lucky a couple times. I think he realized it too. But yeah, and before we get too deep into the offense, I just want to say that not just Mike is enjoying a beverage tonight. Shawnee Wani is. What are you drinking?
I got some Dos Equis Amber.
Mm-mm. Got a tequila on the side, do you?
No tequila. Yeah. Just I need a a little beer on the side. It was a thirsty day.
A good Wisconsin beer, Dos Equis.
Dos Equis.
That's a great beer, by the way.
It is. I like the amber, the darker amber.
I do too.
Smooth.
Just to go on Rodgers just a little bit more.
I'll go all podcast on Rodgers if you want.
Gruden sometimes is a tough pill to swallow because sometimes it just comes off as he's play acting, the way he acts and stuff like that, whether he is or he isn't.
I think he just loves the game.
He does love the game, but I love the stuff that he can bring out and explain and say, look what he's doing. Like one play in particular that pops up in my mind is he's stepping back. I don't know, it was 5 or 7 steps, and he's looking left, looking left, looking left, and all of a sudden, boom, throws it to the right.
Yep.
And, just awesome stuff.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's been years now that we've been seeing this with the Packers. I think it's been very prominent this year. I mean, mm-hmm. We've seen it in all 3 games now. The free plays
Oh.
have been great. I love it. You know, you see him jump, you see the snap, you're kind of worried they're going to throw, you know, like blow the whistle and stop the play. But you're like, oh, they're letting him play. He's going to throw it downfield.
Where's James Jones?
Yeah, he loves to throw to Jones.
Jones must know what to do better than the other receivers, or he trusts them more.
Well, right? I think he's a big target. A big part of the free plays is you're going to throw it in there no matter how well covered they are, because it's a free play.
That's a good
And
point,
so you want a big target. Richard Rodgers is a big target, but he's not usually as far down the field where you want those big chunks of yardage on the free play. Yeah, so I think you know, Rodgers is definitely, and he said after the game yesterday, he's glad to have Jones back.
Well, and then one of the reporters, I don't know if you guys, we put it up in the Bleeding Green and Gold Facebook page.
Facebook group,
I'm sorry.
Just a real quick aside, we had a page, realized that people who liked it couldn't post on there besides us as the administrators. So we deleted it. You can't delete it right away. It was a 14-day deletion, scheduled for deletion. So we have a Bleeding Green and Gold Facebook group that you can join, and that way you can post straight on the wall and start a conversation.
Yeah, much better.
I do apologize. We had some listeners like the page the other day, right before it got deleted in about an hour. So if you were one of those listeners and you liked it, and all of a sudden you're going, what the hell? It's gone. Hey. Type it in again. There's a Facebook group called Bleeding Green and Gold, and you can go and like that.
So thank you for that. Bleeding Green and Gold group put up their Aaron Rodgers post-game conference. And who's our buddy from Australia? Do you remember?
Dennis Paul.
Hey, Denny. just watching him in his interview, it's really interesting because you can see the arrogance, you can see the humbleness. But one of the reporters asked him and said, it just kind of seemed like you were watching Kansas City sideline knowing what was going to come. And he goes, yeah.
Yeah, he kind of smirked. Yeah, I did.
You know, being a defensive head coach or whatever, it's like you're going, really?
I don't know if you caught it right after that. He briefly mentioned the, you know, the 12 men on the field penalties they've been getting. He goes, I see two big guys come on. You know there's two big guys going off. It's two for two. And if they're not sprinting, I'm snapping the ball and getting the free play.
And he did two of those yesterday.
Yeah.
What do you got with it? So it's just another fun time because we got had the whole family here to watch the game. Yeah,
Jenny was able to, because it was Monday night.
Yeah, she had to bug out a little bit early, but lots of push-ups, a lot of sit-ups.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the offensive line.
Offensive line looked, I thought they looked good again. It's weird thing with the Packers is it's kind of hard to tell with Rodgers how the offensive line is playing. Because, you know, they collapse a lot around him.
Yeah.
And he moves. Like, if you just go back and watch plays and watch how he moves in the pocket, the second someone gets pressure on him, he's not there anymore. So it makes it kind of hard to know how the offensive line is doing because, you know,
it's got he's Jack so in the good box. At eluding he's it. Like Rodgers in a box because all of a sudden, like, he just scrunches down sometimes and bing, he pops out and then he runs off a certain way. And that's a really good point because I wondered that again last night watching the game. I just think he's such a phenomenal player. He makes that offensive line
look
better.
He has such an instinct for it, too. And it kind of reminds me of, because I, you know, I played a lot of tennis growing up and in school. And when you play doubles, they talk about having a string attached to you and your partner where you move one way, they move that way, you move this way, they move that way, and you just keep moving with each other. It's so instinctual with him that when he gets pressure on one side, it's like he doesn't even have to see it. He's already moving over and out of the way.
And for those who are Favre fans who had the enjoyment of watching Brett Favre, a huge, huge difference between Brett Favre and Rodgers is that when he's rolling out, you used to just fear the interception. And obviously you don't do that with Aaron.
You see Rodgers roll out and you get excited.
Yeah, and then we were talking, we kept joking around, we mentioned before in the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast about where's the screen. And I told Sean last night for Aaron, I think he scrambled for like 12 yards or something like that. I said, there's the screen. That's our version of the screen nowadays, is Aaron running out when there's the hole. But
yeah, it helps get rid of that you know, pressure a little.
Mm-hmm.
One thing with the interceptions, or the non-existent interceptions with Rodgers,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen the stats, but it's Rodgers is over 4 touchdowns for every interception. It's like 4.1 something. The next highest in NFL history, I think, is Tom Brady at like 2.8.
Really?
Touchdowns per interception.
I did not
know
that.
He's blowing everyone out of the water in NFL history on this.
Well, they asked him at the post-game interview, too. They said, so what did you think? You know, do you seem to be playing at a high level, blah, blah, blah? And he said, I have to be. That's just what's expected, and that's what I expect. And
it's his job.
Yep, and it's just...
He's the only quarterback to have 10-plus touchdowns and no interceptions through 3 weeks with Peyton Manning, him and Peyton Manning.
Really?
That's some elite company.
Wow, that is
awesome.
I mean,
not this year for Peyton Manning, obviously, but...
I don't know if you... well, let's keep moving through when we get to the defense, I guess.
Yeah, we'll keep moving. Rushing, Lacy...
Kansas City, they've got a great defense. They got a great defensive line. Yep. They were definitely trying to stop the run and force us to pass, which to me, I don't get
they were trying
that
to get
thinking.
That pressure, too. They have probably the best passing attack of any defense.
Yeah, Aaron got knocked around pretty good.
Yeah, only one sack, though. Mm-hmm. So that's an accomplishment. Lacy looked a little hobbled still. After every run, you kind of saw him either limping to the sideline or limping back to the huddle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Starks.
He's a big guy, too.
Yeah, I kept thinking, looking at him, I'm like, man, you should not be looking like me. You know?
Oh, he doesn't.
Hey. I was going to add to that and say, not like me when I'm at my lightest weight.
Oh, he doesn't.
Hey! Give me something to throw at.
Starks, and I think it goes back to Lacy's injury, but Starks had 17 rushes compared to Lacy's 10.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he definitely didn't do as much with his rushes as Lacy did. He had 17 rushes for 32 yards, whereas Lacy had 10 for 46.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good for Lacy. You're averaging over 4.5 yards a rush.
Mm-hmm.
You can't argue with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I totally agree with you, but Starks, it's such a difference between those two guys. So it's such a nice change to have the trade-off.
Yeah. Starks is always there. He's there when we need him.
Mm-hmm.
I think we take him for granted.
I think he'd be a great insurance company. Starks, we're there when you need us.
That first quarter, I mean, on both sides of the ball, that was our game, that first quarter.
Yeah.
We did whatever we wanted on offense, and we shut them down on defense. I think they had 6 yards for either all of or most of the first quarter.
Did you watch McCarthy's press conference after post-game?
I did not. I only watched Rodgers.
And he, you know, he talked about that. And he said, you know, that is our goal every game, is to come out strong, come out fast. And they definitely did that. Of course, being a coach, he's like, there's definitely a lot of things we need to work on. But, oh, my goodness, they came out. It was just, like, on fire. And
it was fun.
It was a lot of fun, and I got to think Aaron was feeling pretty good. You know, he had to have a chip on his shoulder, from being, you know, playing against the guy who got picked way ahead of him and all that.
I mean, I think that's one of the things that makes him great. Whether it's warranted or not, he always finds a way to have a chip on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Well, and God's a Packer fan, so. Receiving.
James Jones.
He's got to be loving life right now.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he's the best veteran minimum receiver in the NFL.
He's huge this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, just out of nowhere. I feel very justified in all the years I defended him to you. So many years that you just dumped on him and dumped on him, and I defended him. I said, I like Jones.
Oh, yeah.
And you said, he drops everything, and guess what?
You're right, James. Sean was always there for you, and every night he went to bed with his James Jones stuffed doll and kissed him goodnight and said, somebody loves you, man.
Homemade James Jones stuffed doll, just to clarify. That's dedication. I didn't even know what a so before that.
That's good.
So yeah, he had 7 receptions, 139 yards. He had a touchdown on the free play. I think 52 yards was his long. Pretty good day. Yeah, he saved my fantasy team.
Did you end up winning?
Yeah, I won because of Jones on one of them.
Well, they asked Aaron in the post game interview, and they talked about those plays where you just, it's a free play because the offense, yeah, the defense was offsides, and they said, what's your thinking? Why is that? Can't they figure that out? And he goes, well, I think basically you'd have to ask them, but everybody tries, but we work really, really hard.
Well, and I liked, and I guess I never even realized this before watching that's not his goal with the hard count. He's not trying to get them to jump off sides. He's just trying to slow down the rush, and getting the free plays is a product of that. Mm. It's a bonus.
Yeah.
All he said their goal with that is to slow down the rush, and when they get free plays, you know, that's great. We have to take advantage of it. The whole offense needs to know what's going on. But I always thought that was a big reason for the hard count, to try to get free plays.
What amazes me is Seattle did the same thing as Kansas City, is that they see the flag and then they just kind of back off. They don't remember go, because this guy's gonna throw it. Yeah. And so they,
that must be frustrating.
It truly is
coach.
A free play. Because the defensive line, yep, just kind of okay, pat a cake.
Yep. Cobb, he looks healthy.
Oh my gosh.
He had,
for a little guy, he is pound for pound, he's got to be super strong.
He's strong and he's quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like they talk about, I know on Dan Patrick, they asked Matthews who the fastest player on the team is, and he said hands down Sam Shields. But quickness has to be Cobb. He's so hard to tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
twitchy.
Yeah, 7 receptions, 91 yards, and 3 Woo-hoo! Touchdowns.
Yes, man.
And they were all the same play. Like, they said that in the post-game interview with Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
They varied a little, but basically all the same play to get the touchdowns to Cobb, where, he's slanting, like, parallel basically to the goal line in the red zone. Rodgers gets it to him, and he just fights his way to the end zone. And they asked, Rodgers about that. He's like, well, they did vary a little, but basically if it's working, do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, it worked, and they did it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Cobb looked good. I think he's looking like he's getting back to full health now with the shoulder.
So, refresh my memory, just to step back one piece. Is it Lacy's ankle or foot?
Ankle.
Ankle, okay.
Lacy's ankle. Adams, he left the game again pretty much right at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It was good to have him back, but he has re-aggravated his high ankle sprain. I would be surprised if he plays next week. I think they need to give him a week to just get steady with it again.
I totally agree with that, and I could almost see them sit him till after the bye, let's just get this fixed, because those things are easy to re-aggravate, because it didn't look like it was a huge deal.
No,
just kind of came down on it funny, but
I don't think he was contacted when he heard it.
Ty Montgomery.
Yep, last big receiver that scored in the game was Ty Montgomery. Mm-hmm. He's looked good. He had just 2 for 14 and a touchdown. His touchdown was Rodgers rolling left out of the pocket, if you remember that. And then Montgomery was going towards the middle of the field, made a nice second move to cut back towards the sideline into the end zone to get away from his defender.
Well, I was...
It was our first touchdown.
Two touchdowns where Cobb really had to fight to get in, right?
Yeah.
Those, to me, just resonate on just somebody just saying, you're not going to deny me. And he's not in the best of health. I mean, it's not his legs that are hurting, but it's still pretty awesome. And it's great to see Ty Montgomery stepping forward. We need him.
I don't know if I shared it on the Facebook group about Ty Montgomery earlier this week, about how he's kind of... NFL-wise, he's a physical enigma, they're talking about, where for his height, he's 6 feet even, so a little shorter for wide receivers.
I just want to say, You just heard Enigma on the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast.
You don't have to point out to the audience every word you don't know.
No, I know. I just like, you just don't hear that very often.
You like it?
I do.
Oh, I couldn't remember.
You're the word. You're an English major or
something. Oh, yeah. I couldn't remember the word they used in the article, so I had to make up my own.
It's probably better than what they used.
And but yeah, so he's 6 foot even, a little short for, you know, NFL wide receivers, but he's heavy. He's just heavy set. And there's only, I don't remember who it was, but only one other receiver in NFL history that was his shape and size.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That is really crazy. See, when I was growing up, they didn't call me heavy. They called me husky. And so when I went to Sears to buy my clothes, and yes, we did go to Sears to buy our clothes, it was the husky section. You get the husky jeans and the husky t-shirts. Figure it out what that meant.
I'm not fat, I'm big boned.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not fat, but I'm not as fat as Francis. All right, let's move on to the defense.
Move on to the defense. All right.
There's a lot of husky boys on our defensive line. Oh man, can they move? Unbelievable to see these big mammoth beasts and that they can do.
I mean, I don't think you can talk about our defensive line without talking about at least so far this year, Mike Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
and I think Raji.
Raji too, but and it's good to have him back. But mm-hmm. Daniels, I think he's underrated for one. And
which is awesome.
Which is awesome. But he has to be playing at the top level in the league for his position. Cuz they can't stop him. He's getting penetration pretty much every play.
Well, like the one I was writing something down, and you go, did you see that? Back it up. And it was where he was taking on this guy and just basically just said, all right, stand in front of me. I'm still going to get where I want to go, and just pushed him all the way back into the quarterback.
He didn't even look like he was trying. He just walked the guy backwards. He had 2 sacks and a strip. We didn't recover the strip, but he still stripped it. So pretty good day.
It was an awesome day. We had 7 sacks.
Yeah. And 7 sacks. 1 came in garbage time, but 6, you know, important sacks. It was good, you know, because going all week, they talked about how is Rodgers going to handle the best pass rush in the game. And they got 1 sack, and we got 7.
Yeah. And then he did get, I don't know how many knockdowns Aaron had, but it was, Kansas City is no slouch. And, no. I know some people, you know, reading the boards and stuff like that are talking about, why can't we just finish a team? Why do we have to let them come back? It's like, you know what? You're freaking morons. You're idiots. This is the NFL.
How do you really feel?
It's come on. I mean, you beat them by 10 points and you're still not happy. I mean, you're just spoiled brats. Yeah. You're entitled little children.
Okay. I did see that too, though, where people are saying we start playing conservatively too early. I mean, we're not coaches. We're not paid millions of dollars to make these decisions, so we can't make these decisions.
And the thing is that I think people sometimes look at the NFL kind of like college football, where in college it's like you see somebody win by 60 points, and you're like, oh, that's going to be great for the bowl selection. In the NFL, it's all about wins and trying to protect players so they can play the next week. Yep. So get over yourselves.
Okay. Are you calm down now? Calm down.
Hang on.
Take a drink.
I need a drink.
Third downs. I thought we did great at getting pressure on third downs. Because when you need it the most, especially those third and long situations, you don't want to give them time. We didn't give them time. Seemed good.
I totally agree with you.
We had a couple where it seemed like he got it out to Kelce, their tight end, or Macklin, maybe.
He had to make some plays. We forced him to make some plays instead of the play that was called. Joe Thomas and Nate Palmer.
Yep, that filling in, you know, for Sam Barrington and LaTroy Guyon, and they look good. Joe Thomas is the guy who we dropped him in the preseason. He didn't make the team. We brought him back off the practice squad to fill in for injuries. He looked good. Made a couple big tackles. Nate Palmer looks solid, especially in the run defense. And I know Dennis from Australia, because we have some listener mail to get to at the end of the podcast.
Okay.
But one thing he did bring up is he wanted to know how Jake Ryan looked. And we didn't see much of him behind Nate Palmer. Because I thought they're filling in. I thought Nate Palmer and Jake Ryan would kind of split time. And we'd see who, because, you know, Ryan's a rookie. Mm-hmm. We'd see who came to the forefront, kind of won the starting role. And it never really seemed to be that way. It looks like Nate Palmer is solidly in that role. Mm-hmm. Maybe Ryan will get it later in the season because I think he is a good player, but at least for now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it was nice to see. I mean, and again, Kansas City is a tough team, very good coach, well-coached team. And so when you can see players like Joe Thomas come in and play the way he is, he's got a fire in his butt right now. You can tell. He's flying all over. Speaking of linebackers and Matthews, go ahead.
Well, just before we go on to Matthews, I was going to say, I liked Gruden's comment on Nate Palmer, where I forgot what the play was, but Palmer had a good play. And Gruden goes, "And who is Nate Palmer? Where do Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy find these guys?"
Well, where does Ted Thompson find them, and then Mike McCarthy's willing to play them?
Yeah, and willing to play them.
That's something in the old days that used to drive me nuts about the Packers with the coaches. And they we got to stick with the veterans because the veterans don't make the mistakes. The veterans don't make plays back in the day. So I think Matthews had one of his better games.
Yeah.
He was all over. And the one thing that I love is his discipline. And he was, you know, it's got to be hard for a guy with a motor like he has, that he still stays back and contains when he should, when he really wants to go and just knock the snot out of a guy.
I think that was a big deal when he was asked to move to middle linebacker last year. People thought, you know, how can you ask a guy who's just, you know, an animal on the defense, always on the attack, to make this change, to totally change his game plan, and do a lot of containment and coverage, mm-hmm. like you said. And I mean, he said what the team needs is what I'll do, and I think in a lot of ways he enjoys it. And when he gets to rush the quarterback like he loves to do, he takes advantage of it. He makes the most of it.
Yeah, he did. So I just want to give a little bit of props to him. And of course, he loves the limelight anyways, as much as we can give him from the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast. But hey, thanks for listening, buddy.
Hey, we're getting bigger. We got quite a few listeners.
Yeah,
this
boy,
last
we just
episode.
Appreciate
we
you.
We appreciate everyone who's listening. We thank you, and we hope you join the Bleeding Green and Gold Facebook group so we can talk to you, you know, directly and hear what you're saying.
Yeah, check out the website. It's samedeal.com.
But I think Matthews, if he stays on pace and stays healthy and continues to do what he's doing, I think he could be Defensive Player of the Year.
Well, they said, I agree, and they said the same thing. Like, what was the two things that happened the last 2 years that held the Packers back? Aaron Rodgers having an injury.
Yep.
And that's the truth.
Yep.
So if Aaron can stay healthy,
cross your fingers, knock on wood, do whatever you need to do.
That's serious wood, kids. I've been putting a lot of wood up in the booth today. Mike's got wood.
All right, moving on. The ups and downs of Sam Shields.
In the grand scheme of things, he had a really good game. I thought he did. But there's one play.
Yeah, you hated that one play. The Jamal Charles touchdown. Runs it up the middle. You have Sam Shields between him and the goal line. And what does Shields do? He falls on his side and curls in a ball.
Where's my teddy bear?
And then, you know, you're giving him
a hard
crap
time
about that.
I was.
And you have Alex Smith rolling, avoids the sack so that he can roll to his left and throw an interception from the end zone to Sam Shields.
I don't know how you can remember that stuff like that.
What do you mean?
I wish I could.
You were there with me. We watched it.
I just don't remember it the same way you do. And I know I could go rewatch it again and go, yeah, he was right.
In my head, that's what I heard. When we saw that play, it's like Alex Smith with the athletic move to avoid the sack so he can roll left and throw an interception from the end zone.
Well, you don't agree with me that he had a pretty good game? I think he had a good game.
Well, are you comparing it to his first game?
No.
Because if you compare it to his first game, he was a superstar.
Wow, you're starting to sound like
but,
me.
No, but no. He had a good game. He was solid. There were a couple plays, though, you know, where, I don't know. And he got hurt at the end there. I couldn't find much. I like to look into stuff about the game before we record this, get as much info as I can. I really could not find much for injuries. Bakhtiari on the offensive line was a big one where it looked like he got hurt. Looked like could be a serious knee injury.
It could be.
A tackle. I couldn't find
anything. They don't need to say anything until what?
Wednesday,
a couple days yet?
No, Wednesday or Thursday, one of those.
And we're recording on Tuesday.
Typically record on Mondays, but it's a Monday night game. So.
Right, Tuesday the 29th of September 2015. And next week, we're going to have to record on Tuesday because I'm going to be in Chicago. I got a internet thing down there. But
So lots of man coverage. Kind of been one of our MOs in the last few years. Don Capers likes his man coverage. We seem to be doing well with it. And, yeah. I mean, if you can do solid man coverage, it allows you to blitz
in
a lot more creative ways.
Yep, so much that you can do. Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And then, so we got to go with Dennis from Australia. Yeah. Asked about the rookie quarterback.
Yeah, we'll just do cornerbacks. How about I'll read his listener mail? We'll put it up a little on the podcast, and I'll read it for you here.
Okay.
How do I do this first part? Because with the Australian accent, you know.
Hey, mate.
Good day, lads. That was kind of British.
You got to get up top or top of your palate.
All right. Good day, lads.
Yeah, there you go.
Post-Kansas game, could you mention how the drafted rookies do in the game? Being in Australia, the games are on in the morning when I'm working, so I miss parts of the game. Like to know how Randall, Rollins, and Ryan are going on the defensive side. Cheers, Dennis. Go Pack, go.
Yeah, and we got to make an attempt to go visit Dennis sometime.
No way.
Don't be such a...
Have you seen some of the... Okay, I just saw an article a week ago. They have a new poisonous snake they discovered.
Yeah.
I just put one on my friend Justin's wall on Facebook. It rains spiders multiple times a year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going there. Oh. He can come here. We'll go to the bar and watch the Packers.
Well, now you just found out how sensitive my son is.
Yeah, because I don't want to die.
Randall had a couple of they really weren't called out that much, and I think that's a good thing. Is when they're because if the quarterback Smith is good enough, he's going to go after the guys if you think he can.
And I think it was kind of funny because, I mean, we don't watch the game live. We watch it about 20 minutes to half an hour behind so we can skip through the commercials with the DVR. But the second we talked about how, you know, you haven't really heard the rookie cornerbacks' names, that's a good sign. All of a sudden, you heard their names a couple times on plays.
That's true.
But I think especially Randall, he looked good on the deep coverage, covering the deep routes.
He's fast.
Yeah, he is fast. A couple times later, he was beat by Macklin. And I think part of that, you know, Jeremy Macklin, he's a veteran. And it was kind of in garbage time that a lot of it happened. Mm-hmm. So they're a lot more fearless at that point in the game.
Right. I would agree with you. Yeah. And this is something that's just a thorn in my side where the referees – and the NFL rules that come down from above, there's a huge disconnect between a true penalty.
Clean hit.
And a solid hit. And it just drives me nuts. I want to protect the players, but if it's a good hit within the realm of the rules, it should be a reviewable play. Automatically,
it should be reviewable because it's so bang.
Because it is in the Badgers game from Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Badgers game, they had the same type of play. They reviewed it and they said
that's new this year, though.
Yep.
And that's new that you can review personal fouls, and I think that's something the NFL is really watching to see how it works in college.
Well, knock knock, Puddinhead, it's time to do it.
But yeah, that was a huge hit on West.
It was.
Just destroyed him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Ha Ha, Clinton Dix, he's had a every game, it seems, this year, he's had, at least at one point, a huge hit.
Yeah, and he got hit. He got a flag on that one, too, where it was shoulder to shoulder. The helmets did not touch, but they called it because he nailed the guy so hard he flew over backwards.
Yep.
But.
And so we'll just, I mean, you talked about you need to be able to review that. Shouldn't be a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of flags in this game. Lots of flags in every game this
every
year.
Game
it's been
this
a
year.
Record since mm-hmm. the merger how many flags we've had this year.
Did we talk about that during the podcast or beforehand? Did you had the numbers?
That was beforehand.
Okay. Because it's I think the most ever, isn't it? In the first three
well,
three
since games. The merger.
The yeah. merger, okay.
Yep, average per game. It's over 15 flags a game average in the NFL right now. We had 19 accepted penalties in the Packer game yesterday. That takes a lot of time out of playing. I mean, I don't know how much you have to say about that. We can complain about it.
Yeah, it's just
there's nothing we can really do about it.
There's really, I mean, I think it's Triplett, the ref who, the past two games, at least two out of the last three games, he has had a call that he did during the game, and one of the other refs had to come up and go, no, that's not actually what the that's not right. That's turn off your mic. I'll tell you what it's supposed to be.
Well, there's a big controversy right now with Cam Newton and the referee. I think Hockley. Maybe.
I can't believe that Hockley would say that. And if he did, it was in jest. And I don't know.
I think that's getting a lot more attention than it needs. But so talk about injuries quickly. We don't have too much to talk about that we didn't already. Lacey looks still a little hobbled, but otherwise seems to be okay. Adams probably, hopefully, maybe going to miss a week with the high ankle sprain.
Mm-hmm.
Bakhtiari, hopefully he's okay. We don't really know anything about that, even if he is injured.
Yeah, we won't know for a couple of days.
And, yeah, so you want to move on to predictions?
Sure. I don't even know if we're not keeping score like we were supposed to. But,
yeah, we are.
Are we?
You're winning by one.
Am I? Okay. Yeah. Hey, good guys are winning.
Well, you picked the Vikings to beat the Chargers last week, and I picked the Chargers just so we didn't agree on every game. And Vikings look good.
They look pretty good. Chargers, to me, is one of those teams that I thought that could go, in the beginning of the year, 8-8, maybe at the most 11 wins. But, yeah. Okay.
Peterson looked good, and their pass rush looks really good. They're beating up quarterbacks.
I guarantee they are. You're absolutely right. The first prediction... We're both going to pick the same team.
Should we just do it in unison?
Okay.
So it's Raiders
on three.
At Bears.
Ready?
Okay.
Raiders and Bears on three. One, two, three. Raiders. Okay.
I almost went, Bears, just to mess with you.
Oh, man, they're bad.
Yeah, so I think it's
like they're conceding the season already. What the heck? They traded Jared Allen away, and they just traded somebody else away late last night.
I don't know.
Okay.
They're going for that number one pick.
Hey, that was cool. I saw you put both Raiders down on there. That was good.
Good.
All right. Google Docs. Vikings at Broncos.
Who are you picking? I think this is interesting.
They're at Broncos.
At the Broncos in Denver, Mile High City.
I'm going to go with the Broncos.
Yeah.
It's a toss. It's really tough. It's like 51-49, but I'm going to go with the Broncos.
I think I'm going Vikings.
Because could very well.
You know, Denver's one of the biggest home field advantages in the league with the Mile High and the altitude. But I think with their pass rush right now, if they can knock Manning around a little, they'll just shut him down.
You know where I think the game's going to come out for the Broncos, in my mind? Their defense with Teddy. And they'll be able to hold Adrian within, because they've got a great defense. So... okay, so we disagree on that one.
We disagree, yeah.
All right, next one, Lions at Seahawks.
Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
Who you picking?
Seahawks.
All right. I mean, Lions don't look too well right now. Seahawks didn't look as good as I thought they would against the Bears. I thought it'd be just a huge blowout, you know. You don't have Cutler playing.
Exactly.
Bears look horrible. You have... Seahawks with their backs against the wall. They want to make something. Make
did
a
you
name.
Watch the game?
I did. And okay. Cam Chancellor's back. They wanted to just come out huge. And at least the first half, in most of the game, they didn't. I mean, they were solidly winning the whole time, but they weren't blowing them out. And I thought that was interesting, especially with, you know, Klaassen.
That is interesting. I did not see the game. So, okay, so we both picked the Seahawks in that one against the Lions on Monday night. And then we've got it's a noon game on Sunday, right? The Packers and 49ers in the Gene Stadium. And got to go with the Packers.
I'm going Packers. I think, yeah, like we say, it seems every week, if we felt they weren't going to win, we wouldn't pick them. Mm-hmm. But we're both picking them again.
Yeah.
49ers are not the 49ers of old.
So not right now. This year. Not right now. Boy, Kaepernick had a really lousy game.
Yeah.
All right, where are we at here at time-wise?
Let's see. It looks like we're just 40? About 41 minutes.
All right, cool. All right. Well, please, you know, share it with your friends, your family. We appreciate you listening in. And we've got the Facebook group.
Facebook group, Bleeding Green and Gold.
And then we also have the website, bleedinggreenandgold.com, where you can listen to the podcast. But we can check it out. What do we got, on iTunes?
Yep. I mean, you can subscribe on iTunes, on Stitcher, on TuneIn Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, we'll be there. So subscribe, leave a review. We'd really appreciate it, only if you like it.
And actually, we're going to actually not watch the game together because I'm going to be out of town. So you're
you will be out of town.
I got you a couple of bags of Tostitos.
Did you?
And I got a big jar of salsa.
All right, so. I got my chips and salsa.
So you watch it Sunday. I'll watch it Monday, and then we'll do the podcast Tuesday.
All right. That sounds good. We'll plan doing the podcast Tuesday. Get it up as soon as we can right after. It's usually on within an hour.
I think
iTunes, it takes a couple hours after we put it up to get on there.
Mm-hmm.
But all the others, it's right away. And send in your feedback. We'd love to hear from you. Send in questions. Send in, you know, even comments, something you want us to talk about, like Dennis did. And we'll put your name on the show, where you're from, and we'll do our best to answer it somewhat cohesively.
Speaking of which,
you need a refill.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And then until next time, thank you for listening to a Bleeding Green and Gold podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Sean.
And go, Pack, go.